Okay, so let us turn now to Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. And then, once we at least read the Gemara there, I want to turn to Rambam's Shita. Again, we're going to see, disclaimer, we are not exhaustively seeing this. So it is very long and very complicated. I want to get certain approaches out, hence careful reads of Gemara and Rashi. We've barely done anything more than Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfot since the beginning of the sugya, which is fine. Okay. So in Mem Aleph on the bottom, the Gemara says, Amar Achva Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Talit Shenikri'a Chutz L'Shalosh Yitbor. Toch Shalosh Lo Yitbor. If Tzitzit were ripped outside of three, so then you are allowed to sew it up. Within three, you're not allowed to sew it up. Tani Nami Hachi, right said the same. Talit Shenikri'a Chutz L'Shalosh Yitbor. Toch Shalosh Rimeir Omer Lo Yitbor. Bechamim Omerim Yitbor. Where you have this Machlokes. Bishavin Shelo Yavi Ama Afilu Ama Al Ama Makom Acher Uva Tchelet V'toleba. And everyone agrees that you can't take an Ama and Ama from somewhere else and sew it on that already has tzitzis and just hang it on this clothing. Bishavin Shemevi Tchelet V'makom Acher V'toleba. But you are allowed to untie and retie in strings. Ubilvad Shelo Te Museket. As long as
they're not broken.
And then the Gemara moves into a new sugya, which is matir in the beg le begad.
Like ripped.
Remember, because gardumin is only remnants of. So the logic of the Gemara here is the halachot of remnants only work if it's the original begad. So then you can say if it's incomplete, but it started complete, so then per our discussion in gardumin, it's still kasher. But you can't say it was kasher if it remained on the old tzitzis. If you untie and now retie it, so then you need the original shear, because now you can't take advantage of that heter called gardumen. The Gemara also introduces here the halacha of matirin mibeged lebeged, which I'm still debating whether we should have shear on this. This is a sugya which appears twice in Shas, once here and once in Shabbos, because there are two related sugya, madlikin miner lener, whether you're allowed to light from one Hanukkah candle to the other, and matirin mibeged lebeged. So the Gemara in both places equates the sugya here in Shabbos Chof Bet. I'm debating whether to do it or not. I have tentatively started putting it in my cover sheet, but I don't know. Anyways, what does this sugya mean? What does it mean that if it's ripped within three, out of three, so, not so, and what is the basis of this sugya? So what is Rashi saying? Chutz l'shalosh. So let's first define the case. According to Rashi, what is chutz l'shalosh versus toch shalosh, Daniel?
Look,
3 lines down. L'mala mishalosh etzbot mitzvat hakanaf yidfor v'luchayshinen demapayish midi menachura tfira v'yanichem v'yosefem alav arar b'chutim l'shem tzitzit v'ikataza v'lo mena asui. So Rashi says, if it rips right, far away from the corner, so you're allowed to sew it up, and we're not worried that what are you going to do? Leave the sewed thread
as tzitzis.
As tzitzis. Because as long as it's, and why would that be a problem? So Rashi says, tasam l'nasui. Tasam l'nasui. Now, what type of tasam l'nasui is here? It's a little bit different, because did you do a maisa?
Yes,
you did a maisa. What's his problem?
It being used for something else.
So he says, right, the ikatazm al asri, the hachut l'shalos l'chazul l'tzitzis, k'damrin l'kaman. Because he says, at that point, which is outside of three, that's not the makam of tzitzis. So when you started sewing and attaching it to the beged, at that point it was pasul tzitzit. And if you then leave that string to be tzitzis, the initial act of attaching it was bishat psul. And that's Rashi's svara.
But is he saying, though, if it's within those three, Tzitzis could have a dual purpose.
So sorry, the other way around. He says if it's within three, it's like it's four farther up, we're not afraid you're gonna do that. You're gonna sow and sow and sow and sow and sow. But at the edge you might sow and sow and leave. Right? That's Rashi's problem.
So it just can't have a dual purpose.
Correct. Right? So here it's a little bit different. What is Tasav Amunah say according to him?
It has to be for the sole purpose of
tzitzis. Right, meaning it has to be that you make it l'shem tzitzis, right? He's adding a dimension that you can't make it, because here, theoretically, you could have said, well, maybe he had kavana for it. But the point is, that's also tasav mon asui. Right, so here Rashi introduces a different definition. On Menomad Beis, it was, you have to
do a maisa.
Do a maisa. Here, he adds, the maisa you do must be l'shem tzitzis. And therefore, the tzitzis can't just be the result of some other maisa. Even if you did a maisa.
Is that directly contradicts what we said? Yes.
No. Because here...
Say the maisa was not directly for tzitzis, but because we untied...
But he says the maisa heksher was l'shem tzitzis, according to Rashi. Right? There is a maisa l'shem tzitzis. The question
it's
whether...
It's tzitzis.
No. Meaning, it's... Rashi doesn't hold it has to be on the tzitzis itself, but it has to be on the corner. Right? Meaning, I'm machir this corner. Right, by cutting off the other one. It's not a mice in the string, but it's a mice in the corner of tzitzis, the knaf. Here he's adding that it also has to be essentially, you can't just have something which is there implicitly. It's there for another reason. It was there to sew, and then, oh, hey, there's extra tassels hanging off tzitzis, right? That doesn't work. It has to be possible. When also, according to Rashi, is a halacha that you must do a maisa bichavana l'shem kanaf. And now you get a new qualification, which is that you can't have done the maisa for some other purpose. And then the Gemara introduces this ama al ama. So Rashi says mitalas acheret v'yesh batchilah v'tolam mishum dalkan ve'vigdehem be'inan u'kanaf ze lohayam mi'beged ze b'shaz asiya. And he says, why can't you do this? Because the tzitzis needs to go on the beged when it is this beged. But if you take an ama lama from a different beged and it already has tzitzis hanging out, right? You cut your tzitzis in half and then sew your tzitzis on to another beged. So it's what does this do? It adds a dimension. Not only does the tzitzis need to be put on a beged, the shame tzitzis, to not be tasma azui. What is Rashi now?
On this beged,
right? So you see that Rashi is slowly building. Right? Rashi, conceptually, you can trace that first he tells you there needs to be a maisa.
Then it has to be lishma.
But right, and then he adds, but by the way, the maisa doesn't have to be in the string, it has to be in the knaf. And then he says, and right, there is this blurring of the line between lishma and tasma azui, meaning it can't be for another purpose that you did this act, and mimela there is now tzitzis. And three is not just that you have to do a maisa l'shem tzitzis, you have to do a maisa in asiyas haknaf on this beged. And therefore, I can't just cut off half my tzitzis and sew it on to another beged. And yay, magic, we have tzitzis, because yes, I put the strings on l'shem tzitzis, but not on this beged. But what you can do, he says, is shavin shemevi tchilas. Matir tzitzis mital zacheres. I can untie strings from another beged, b'toleba, and hang it on this one. The hachaleka v'lo min had asui. The hatzarach lachzor ulikarcha ulitakna kan kivat chila. Because then you're untying and retying. So there's a new maisa of kshira. So that is Rashi's understanding of this sugya. And like I tend to think that at this point Rashi is pretty consistent. We will note certain problems in Rashi, but for the moment, I think Rashi is pretty consistent. And again, if we want to conceptually figure out what Rashi is doing, you can say that basically a coherent shita emerges from Rashi. The tazal on asui is machayev, the person to be involved in the creation, and then each sugya clarifies a little bit what that act is. The sugya of Baal Tosef notes that it doesn't need to be a maisa on the strings. It could be a maisa on the knaf. Right? So I can do a maisa by cutting off l'shem hechsher atzitzis, and that works. Remember yesterday, right? If I add strings, Rashi says when I cut off the other strings, that counts as a maisa.
Oh.
Right? So I have to do an act on the corner. It's not that I have to do an act in the string, because the strings are already there. It's that I have to do an act in the corner. Then you get the addition in this sugya, which is that it can't just be left implicitly. It can't be that I really the string was my spool of thread. And now some of it's left over, so instead of it being a tassel or a loose thread, it'll be tzitzis. That doesn't work. Even though I did a maisa, but it's a maisa for another purpose. And then the sugya of Amma Lama, of taking an Amma from somewhere else, tells you that, yes, I tied the tzitzis onto Daniel's beged, l'shem tzitzis, but now if I want to sew it onto, I was about to say Daniel, but it really is confusing. But I'll sew it onto Gavi's beged. That doesn't work even though it's l'shem tzitzis, because it's not l'shem this beged. But let's look at the Nemuka Yosef. Now, I know you had trouble finding it, because it is confusing. Because it is confusing when you get to the, what's it called? When you have the Ozva Hadar, so references get a little bit tricky, I know that. Let's just review who these people are. Who is the Nemuka Yosef is writing on the Rif. Who's the Rif? Again. Yitzhak Al-Fasi.
Right.
Yes, and so, yeah, when I put Dape Ha'ilfis, that means the pages of the Rif. Nemuka Yosef, what is going on in this one? I'm really confused what is going on here. There we go. Oh, I see what we did. That's really odd. Okay, anyways, the formatting in here is very odd. What?
I'm on the right things.
You are, but I don't have the same pagination as you. Okay, now who is the Nemuka Yosef? But where is the Rif from?
North Africa. Alfas.
North Africa. Fez, yes. Fez in English. Very good. Alfasi means from Fez. Very good. The Nemuka Yosef is who? Yes. Very good. Let me see if they, they actually give it to you here who he is. Yes, they do. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chaviva. That's why I was writing. Sometimes you just have to look. The cover page will tell you their names, all of their names. The cover page of the Rif, he tells you Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yaakov Alfasi. I don't know. Oh, that's off pagination. Oh, that's annoying. What's it called?
I'm not calling it.
Anyways. So look at the Nemuka Yosef. You got it?
I'm looking for the intro page name.
Okay. Well, it's the front page of the Rif, so I think you're way, way past.
Yes.
It's the thing, it's... You went too far.
Back.
Turning backwards, yeah. Right? It's the Rif. It's the front page of the Rif.
For each thing.
Here, yeah. There he gives you Nemuka Yosef or Yosef Chaviva. Okay, so if you look at the Nemuka Yosef, he says, Chutz l'shalosh. The sugya on Mem Aleph.
Yeah.
He says, Chutz l'shalosh. So remember, according to Rashi, what does it mean?
Why do they all write in Rashi script?
None of them wrote in Rashi script. The printer printed in Rashi script.
I mean, why did they do that?
The printer did it. There were printing reasons for it, but I don't know what they were now. there were reasons for it.
Let's just make light.
Yes, that was what it was, Daniel. It was to make your life harder. You personally, your life harder.
I think it's due Hebrew.
I mean, it is Hebrew.
Normal Hebrew, fancy, Rashi-looking Hebrew.
Anyway, so Chutz l'shalosh. So again, according to Rashi, chutz l'shalosh means if it's far enough up the beged, the tear, we're just not worried that you're going to leave it over.
Including three or over
three. So Rashi says over three.
So if it's three, it doesn't count.
I think so. That's hard to tell exactly. But look at what he says. He says, talit chutz l'shalosh, talit sheyesh bo tzitzit, v'nikra ha-knaf samuch l'tzitziot. If you have tzitzit and it tears, im hu chutz l'shalosh yitbar. If it's outside of three, so you can sew it up. Shaharei lo nitbatel ha-tzitzit, kevan shenishar shiur shalem liyot knaf, dahainu shalosh al shalosh. He quotes from Avraham Gaon something very strange, and he says this according to Rashi, if you left the string from six fingers up, but you left it as tzitzit, would it be kosher?
No.
The only thing for Rashi is that we don't even let you sew it up when we're worried you're going to leave the string. And the only question is the difference of Xavier. But according to Ram Ragon, it's fundamental. According to Ram Ragon, it goes as follows. Let's say when it ripped farther up, and therefore the amount of material left around the string was still 3 by 3. Meaning, see where the corner is?
Yep.
See, there's a corner. See this extra corner tied on?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's say my tzitzis were to tear here. Right? So basically, this whole corner section would just fall off like this. Right? Like this. What exactly what you see on my tzitzis is this sewed on corner. Let's say that fell off my tzitzis.
Okay.
Now, I want to just sew that corner back onto my tzitzis. So according to Rashi, is that mutter?
No.
Absolutely not. Because according to Rashi, we've seen consistently that the definition of tasam onasui is you have to do a maisa, b'shas atzias atzitzis, and he said each time that what is considered shas atzias atzitzis, at what moment can you do it? Only if you have what?
Lishma on that.
And if you have a full beged at your chayvin. He rejected the possibility that a beged, which is kasher for the sake of tuma and tara, remember? Yeah. Has anything to do with this, right? Rashi consistently thinks, and here's another point in Rashi, that in addition to everything we said until now, that it's a din in you have to be involved in the act of making the tzitzis, and that it has to be that it, in the knaf and not necessarily in the strings, and it has to be not only that you had kavana but it wasn't for another purpose, and it has to be in this beged. Another thing that emerges according to Rashi is that what I, at so can we turn this off? Thank you. But Rashi also thinks that what type of beged do you need to be acting on for your maaseh to count a beged hashayav b'tzitzit, right? A garment upon which you have to put tzitzit, right, Gavi?
Yeah.
Rav Amram Gon says no, not bechlal. So according to Rashi, would you be allowed to sew the corner onto the beged?
Yes.
No. I mean, I have a corner. I go to the store, right? And basically, if I took my tzitzis right now and I cut off the four corners and then sold them to you, just the corner pieces, right, like blocks like this big, where the string, and said, here, instead of you tying your tzitzis, just take my tzitzis and sew them on. According to Rashi, would you be allowed to do that?
No.
No, that is like paradigmatic tasa v'lo mina asui. Rav Amram Gaon says that what? that if it rips chutz l'shalosh, which means that the corner that's left has 3 by 3. So then what does he say? Next line. Toch shalosh. Im nikra toch shalosh. Batel atzitzit miyad. Shonish tayer boshir knaf. Ukshichozer v'tofra v'leitasav lomina asui. Rav Amram Gaon says, it depends. If my tzitzis rip, and they totally rip off, and now I want to sew it back onto my beged. I want to sew it back onto my tzitzis. Forget for a moment sewing to someone else's tzitzis. I want to sew it back onto my tzitzis. So Rav Amram Gaon says, am I allowed to do that?
Depends on the size.
If what shalosh al shalosh? The knaf. Then am I allowed to sew on the entire corner back on?
Yeah.
Yes. If it tears all the way at the tip and there's only this much left, then I can't.
Meaning it can't be less than shalosh.
Can't be less than shalosh or shalosh. But if my entire beged rips off the corner, or this whole corner rips off, am I allowed to, according to Rashi, can I sew it back onto my tzitzis?
No,
das malon asui. According to Ram Rangon, can I tie it back on? Yes!
Why?
Sew it back on.
I don't understand.
Why? Right?
Because he's
right?
Is it big enough, like the 3x3, then you can still.
Good! So now let's explain Rav Amram Gaon Shita. Let's finish Rav Amram Gaon, and then I want you to understand Rav Amram Gaon. The Shavin, and he says, they agree that Afil Laman Diamar Chot Lashalash Yitbar, even it says you could do it outside of 3, he agrees with Fishon Bad Al Kanaf, because the corner is not nullified. But even he agrees that I can't just bring an amma by an amma and attach it to my beged, and the rest of the beged is destroyed, because that's tazlum and asui. While Derech Zeh Nimzeh Mifureshet B'Shem Rav Amram Gaon, Rav Amram Gaon Zal, Rav Tuvia Zal, V'chein Perish Baal Halacha. This is a Gaonic position. So what is the logic for Rav Amram Gaon's position? We'll come back to the Amma Alamma in a moment. But what is the logic of Rav Amram Gaon's position? Okay, try that again. What is Rav Amram Gaon's position? It's not clear. So if you're not clear on what his position is, don't worry, no one else was either. There are very many versions of it. But let's try to understand what Rav Amram Gaon is saying. Rav Amram Gaon seems to be saying that if my tzitzit is ripped all the way at the edge, so then the corner doesn't count as a corner. And therefore, the original asiya doesn't count. And therefore, can I sew it back on?
No,
I have to untie it, retie it. But if it rips off with a full corner, with 3 by 3, I can just tie on that corner and it's fine. And it's not tassav l'man asui. Why?
Because it was already chayav.
He's saying the corner
was already chayav.
Because I made a corner, and as long as it's 3 by 3, it hasn't lost the identity as
but,
a corner.
But isn't it only chayav if it has 4? You can't say every.
Good. So according to Rav Amram Gaon, as it's formulated here in the Mukhei Yosef, he clearly doesn't hold what Rashi holds. Right? He doesn't hold what Rashi holds. The Tasav and also he tells me that I have to be involved in creating the beged. And therefore the beged that is important here is.
He's saying it's on the Heftza.
A beged. It's on the Heftza. What Heftza though?
Each knaf.
Yeah, on the knaf. As long as the object maintains its identity, even if it's not chayav in tzitzis, as long as it maintains its identity. Well, before we get to chefetz gafra, what is Rav Amram Gaon saying?
He's saying as long as the corner is an actual corner, it's chayav in tzitzis, and therefore you can attach it back on.
It's not chayav in tzitzis. No, that's where you're wrong. It's not chayav in tzitzis. Even though, what's he saying? When I made the tzitzis, I put the tzitzis on the corner, it wasn't chayiv.
The maisa counts.
He's correct. He's saying that the maisa, original maisa, still counts as long as it hasn't lost not the Shir beget. But as long as, oh, and beget, not the shir of chiyuv, but shir beget. Shir of knach.
But then, using that same logic, wouldn't that mean that he holds, that he would hold that even if your beget doesn't have four corners, you'd have to put tzitzis on it?
No, not necessarily, because then when you're creating the beget, it doesn't have four corners. That's not what he's saying. He's saying something that was created, b'chiyuv, as long as the corner maintains an identity, it can be sewn on. But you're right, it's problematic. So what is he saying? So I'll read you just a little bit from the Rav. He says, "Shita Rav Amram Gaon Hamachira Ad Talit Al Yedei Chibur Aknaf La'Ach Shenitla Shal Legamrei Adayin Kasha." And this is strange. Hare Im Nitla Shal Haknaf. I feel him yesh by yoter mishalosh al shalosh who shir beged mi kol makom ein ba shir chiyuv tzitzit. I mean, Rashi makes perfect sense. Tasa l'masu means that whenever I make the beged, it needs to be on an object which is chayav. And if it rips to the point of ptur, so then I get untie and retie. But according to Rav Gaon, as long as the corner is there, it's kashri. He says, why? Mimela tzitzit tzula legamrei. What are you talking about? Isn't this corner with tzitzis on it just string? Right? Detached from the rest of the beged, this is just string. Who cares that it's a corner? Right? Rashi's shita is eminently reasonable. But what is the Rav Gaon saying? According to Rav Gaon, he said, what are you talking about? Because now, what happened first? The beged becoming chayav, or the tzitzit being tied?
The tzitzit being tied.
The tzitzit being tied! Are we clear on that point? Yeah. Daniel? Right, because according to Rav Gaon, if we cut off the corner, and then sew it back on, while the corner is off, is the beged chayav in tzitzit? No. So when I sew on a pre-tied corner, the chiyuv came after the tying, which is the definition of dasa v'manasui. Right. So, how do we understand Rav Amram Gaon? So he says, "Kedela tareitz shitat Rav Amram Gaon." So he says, "Here's what you have to explain Rav Amram. Anu tzrichim lomar sheshiur kedei sheyitkaseh bo katan rosho virubo eino shiur bechefta shel beged l'inyan tzitzit." Said, "Here are the logical moves you've got to make." And we've already started to talk some of these out. When we say that the clothes have to be large enough that a kid would wear them, does that mean that smaller than that is not a beged? Or smaller than that is not a beged which is obligated in tzitzis? Which one do you think?
Obligated in tzitzis.
Good. So he said, first point first. It's not the definition of a beged. He said it's an eladin bilavishar abeged v'chiyuv agavar. Right? The Rav goes even farther and he says it's not just not the definition of a beged. It must be that the reason you need that shear is a din of the person. That a person needs to wear tzitzis. Meaning, smaller than that is a beged. We know that. And kol tar kula, smaller than that is a beged. It's just that for the purpose of tzitzis, you need to have ituf, which we've already defined several million times in different ways. Lefize yishlomer shafkat shem tzitzit in etluya biptura talit kim b'shem beged. And he said, Rav Amram Gaon clearly holds that what's going to nullify the tzitzis is not taking the beged out of the size that a person could fulfill the mitzvah, but only if it's batel mishem beged. Now, I don't actually know if the Rav is right, because if you read the Mukhi Yosef very carefully, he says almost the same as the Rav, but I would argue differently. And the Rav is arguing that according to Rav Amram Gaon, what matters is that the tzitzis is on a beged. Not a beged which is chayv and tzitzis, but a beged.
But it's still considered beged.
But what is the... You read the Nemuka Yosef, Pshuto Kamashma, what does he actually say?
That has to retain a size.
of a knaf.
Yeah.
Right? That it has to be the size of a knaf, not the size of a beged. Meaning, there's the Rav is arguing that according to Amram Gon, what's important is that the object that tzitzis is attached to maintain its identity as a beged of any sort. Not necessarily a beged that a person could fulfill his mitzvah in tzitzis, but a beged. I would say, if you read Ramadan carefully, he says that's not what it is. Now, do you remember? Do we see a machlokas like this before about whether the object of chiyuv is really the beged or the object of chiyuv is the knaf on the beged? Do you remember that we saw a machlokas like this?
Yes.
We did. It was in the Gemara about when you're defining something as leather for patur, is that a beged which is patur or even just the corners? Right? So we've seen a machlokas like this. So I would say slightly differently than the Rav, that at least as presented in Mukhe Yosef.
I mean, could it be he just means the knaf when he says beged?
I mean, I don't think that's what he means, but we could say, let's say those are two formulations. He says, Hilkach, im chal al achutim shem tzitzit, shem ze lo paka kol od lo nitmata talet mishir beged. Rav Amram Gon is saying that once tzitzis are attached to a beged, as long as the beged, or I would say the knaf, maintain their identity, then the tzitzis are called tzitzis. Afal pishi yefter l'kayim b'mitzvah tzitzit. Even though you can't fulfill your mitzvah. Mishum shein goa kadeshit kasa v'katan rosha v'rubo. Because a child couldn't cover himself with it. Shame tzitzit v'chalot asiyata lo batlu. But the heft of tzitzis, it being called tzitzis, and the original making is not batel. So if I wanted to put the Rav differently, I would say as follows. Rashi focuses constantly on Tasav Loman Asui, which means that a person must be actively involved in the creation of tzitzis. But according to Rav Amram Gon, what does Tasav Loman Asui mean? That the Again, the focus is more on the chefza, meaning the tzitzis, when they were created, it must be active. And therefore, Rav Amram Gon then takes a new chiddush, which is, as long as the tzitzis are attached to something which is defined, either as a beged, or, I would say more precisely than Rabbi Yosef, as a knaf, even though you're not chayev, and even though this is not a full beged l'shem tzitzis, is the identity of these tzitzis and strings that were created b'chiyuv, is it maintained? So what does Rambam going to say? It's maintained as long as, not as long as it remains on a beged which is chayev in tzitzis, but as long as it's attached to anything significant, a knaf, or a beged of any sort, because it maintains its identity. And therefore, as long as it maintains its identity, and then I reattach it, even it's not kosher because the person now sewing it on. It's kosher because when it was created, it was good tzitzis and never lost its identity. Right? The focus is on the identity of the tzitzis rather than was the person involved in tying the tzitzis on this beged. But that's what he says. Right? He says as long as it's still a knaf. Because if I put it differently, did the person sew these strings on this beged?
Yes.
No! Meaning, my whole tzitzis. Did the person sew these strings on the... tie the strings on it?
After
it ripped?
No.
And yet it's kosher. Why? Because the tzitzis are defined as strings which were tied. But I didn't do the tying. It was tied before. Doesn't matter. Since when it was tied, it was behechsher. It was considered asui.
If he says the knaf doesn't lose its identity, doesn't that mean the beged that has three corners now also doesn't lose its identity?
Yeah, but it's not chayev yet. It doesn't lose its identity, but it's not chayev.
How are you not chayev, but also not lose your identity?
So the Rav's argument is that, because it's a beged, right? The Rav's argument is that it's a beged, but the reason you need a beged of that size and four corners is because of the person. That the person only becomes chayiv and wearing when it has all the requirements. But fundamentally, it's defined as a beged with less. I would say I'm not sure that's true. I think he's going more and saying a bigger chiddush. That the halacha of tasam l'nasui is a halacha in the knaf. That when the tzitzit is tied in the knaf, It needs to be defined as asui, and as long as the kanaf maintains its identity, those tzitzis are consistently defined as made l'shem tzitzis. And therefore he says, this is distinct from Rashi, Tosfot, where he says, l'umatzot midibay Tosfot, mash masher nish, l'shal kanaf l'gamre, psula tzit mitzit midan tazim v'la asui, apil nishar v'kanaf shal 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 shir beget. Right? Rashi, Tosfot, they sound like this doesn't work. Why did Rashi and Tosfot think this way? Because their whole argument is twofold. First of all, the definition of beged here is beged shel tzitzit, not something that I could construe as a beged somewhere else. Right, so he says there's two things going on. Right, one is that the Rashi and Tosfot think it's that the person needs to tie onto the beged, but they also think that the only beged that's important here is a beged, which would be chayiv and tzitzis. That's the only definition here. Yeah. And that's why I think the Rav Amram Gaon, that's why I don't really like the Rav's formulation where he says, oh, but Rav Amram Gaon says as long as it's a beged anywhere else in the Torah, so it maintains its identity. I think Rav Amram Gaon is saying a bigger chiddush. It maintains its identity because the beged and the knaf have independent identities. And as long as it's a knaf, it maintains its identity. Right? As long as it's a corner, it maintains its identity, which is even a bigger chiddush. So now, I know these are very hard. I got it. Don't worry. But they're...
It makes sense, basically.
So now he says, okay, but now how do we explain the halacha of Amma al-Amma? Of Amma al-Amma?
Good question.
Where the Gemara says that if you take a beged, which is an Amma and Amma, and you sew it onto this beged, so is it kosher?
No.
So according to Rashi, how do we explain that?
Because you might mistake it.
No, not mistake it. Because according to Rashi,
you might use it.
You need it to be not just that you make the tzitzis, but you make the tzitzis in this beged.
Right. Okay. But wouldn't that be anything not just an Amma by an Amma?
No, but you're saying even Amma Amma by Amma, which is itself, which is maybe Chayav. Now, Rashi seems to think that the Amma Amma is a problem of Tasam Lon Asui. I think, though the Rav is Medayik, that that's not what Rashi means. That what Rashi means that this is a different halacha, which is al kanfei bigdehem beinan uknav ze lohaya mi beged ze bishar asiya. That it's a halacha that you need it al kanfei bigdehem. That the tzitzit needs to be made on the corner of this beged, and this is not this beged. I think the Rashi says this within tasav lomun asui. I think according to Rashi, this is a halacha in tasav lomun asui. That he's saying that not only is it din that I need to make tzitzis, it's a halacha that I need to make tzitzis in this beged. Like, that's just what Rashi is saying. But now the Rav says, but wait a second. I don't think this is a kasha in Rashi, but it is a kasha in Rav Amram Gaon. He asks Daniel's question, which is, according to Rav Amram Gaon, which sugya doesn't make sense? What you said.
The three.
But the Gemara had said that, remember when the Hasidim Rishonim are sewing it up?
Oh, yeah.
The
second it was...
Right, the Gemara had said it can't be that they sewed it up before there were four corners because it wouldn't be chayas, and therefore the Gemara was mechadish. You know what it means? When they got to the corner, they sewed it up. But he said, I don't understand. It sounds like shechisarnu mishmishana talad achutim chaser shirat an mechayev betzitzit. But doesn't this go against Rav Amram Gaon? I'm not sure it goes against Rashi. He thinks it goes against Rashi. I'm not convinced that this is true.
Well, no, it does, because they're sewing it up in a bigot that's not Chaim yet, no?
Good.
So, doesn't that go against the both, then? Definitely Rashi, though.
And so I think, well, so what's the answer, right? The Rav said, what's the answer? You tell me, what's the answer?
That was only the second time around.
No. He's saying the difference is that clearly, what must Rav Ramban hold? Well, or a few things. First of all, is that something with only three corners?
It's chayav.
It's not a beged at all. No. It's not a beged for tzitzis at all. And therefore, if you put strings on it, then it's meaningless. Or maybe you are right, that it's the second time around. Meaning, it's a combination of things. Again, we're not going to follow the Rav exactly here, but I think basically the answer is something like what you're trying to say, which is if I put tzitzis on when there's only three corners, so
they don't count.
They don't count. What is Rav Ramban saying? He's saying if I have a four-cornered baguette, so then when I put the tzitzis on the first time, it's chayav. Then the question is, when does it lose its identity? And what's the answer for Rav Ramban?
If it's less than count.
Right, if it loses the shame knaf, so it loses its identity. But it was created b'shas chiyuv. But if I put tzitzis on a baguette that only has three corners, then it never gains an identity of tzitzis because the baguette is in chayav. And that's going to be the difference. And therefore he says, "Hatalas achutim lamuteles," the case of putting tzitzis on where I already have tzitzis. Or where I take the corner, but from a four-cornered garment. Was there a moment where I made tzitzis? Yes. And now the only question is, when does that do those tzitzis lose their identity? So for Rav Amram, the answer is, only when they lose the sheer knaf. As opposed to Tosfos, what's the answer?
Right away,
as soon as it's not a bag of a chayav tzitzis. But everyone is going to be modeh that this is a question, when do you lose your identity? But it's not a question, how do you create the identity? Everyone is going to be maskim that in order to create the identity of tzitzis, what do you need?
A four-cornered
bag of chayav tzitzis. Right? What Rav Amram is just arguing about is at what point do you lose the identity?
So the Gemara with the Chassidim and Rishonim argues on both, on everyone.
Why?
Right, because it's saying there were tzitzis before it was chayav beged that's chayav tzitzis.
No. Say it again.
The Gemara is saying that they would tie the tzitzis onto a beged that wasn't chayav tzitzis. No, is that what it's saying?
No, because remember the Gemara rejected that. Right, the Gemara said, "Is that what it's talking about?" The Gemara said, "That can't be because everyone would agree that doesn't work." No, that's exactly the dialogue.
So, what is the second interpretation of Gemara?
What was that when you would? They would sew the whole thing, and then as soon as they would get close enough to the edge where they could put tzitzis, they would put it on immediately. Right? Meaning they wouldn't wait. They wouldn't like sew it all up perfectly and then put on the tzitzis. As soon as they could put on tzitzis, they'd put it on.
Okay.
Right? But that's exactly the dialogue. Is that the Gemara said, "Oh, look, they put it on when there was three corners," and the Gemara's answer was, "No, they can't. Everyone would agree that doesn't work."
But that's only the last corner, right? So they could fully complete three corners without tzitzis, but fully sew three corners, and only.
But they couldn't put tzitzis on.
Right, and as soon as the fourth corner was already chayav, that's when they would put all of them and then finish the fourth corner.
Right.
But the other three were already completely done.
Correct. Exactly. Right, and that's what they would do. Now again, the Rav himself, just to be totally intellectually honest, what I presented is a machloket of Amram Gon and
Rashi,
he thinks is a machloket Rav Amram and Tosfot. He thinks Rashi himself is a middle position. I'm not 100% convinced by his diuk here, because he thinks that on the sugya of Amma al Amma, that Rashi thinks it's not a problem of Tasav Laman Asui. So that's how I read it, right? If you look at Rashi on maybe we'll finish with this for now. But if you look at Rashi on Mimakom Acher, again, let's read it again. I read it as being Tosav Manasui. I mean, I read Rashi as a continuation of the sugya. That Rashi is exactly like Tosav, and this is how you read the Rashi. Mimakom Acher, Mitalid Acheret, V'yesh Vatchelet. V'tole B'mishum Dalkan Ve'Vigdehem Be'inan U'Knav Zeh Lo Haya Be'Beged Zeh B'Shar Asiya. I mean, I read Rashi as a continuing on the Tosafot Manasri that he said three lines ago, which is that Tosafot Manasri, according to Rashi, isn't just a halacha in tzitzis on any beged, but that I need to create the tzitzis on this beged. That's how I read Rashi. And therefore, according to the way I read it, what the Rav calls a machloket Rav Amram Gon and Tosfot, I call machloket Rav Amram Gon, Rashi and Tosfot. The Rav thinks that Rashi, that this Rashi thinks that this halacha of connecting, you know, taking another beged of an amal amah and sewing it onto another beged, is in a halacha of Tasa Milmana Asui. It's just a new halacha. Hamachayiv sheknaf tiyel abeged b'shar asiya. It's just a halacha that the knot, that the strings must be on the beged from the moment that it's created. I'm not convinced. I don't know. Do you find this read compelling?
The strings have to be on the...
Okay, let's try to just finish with this
what
point.
What does that mean?
So again, I read Rashi as saying that the reason that you need to create strings on this beged is an expansion of Tasav Manasri. The Tasav Manasri teaches you not only is the person chayav to put tzitzis on a beged, but on this beged.
I get that. I'm saying, what's the Rav saying?
The Rav is saying that no, this is a special halacha that tzitzis must be from this beged.
We're saying from this beged.
That, I'll read you his formulation. That it's midvarav mashma. Rashi implies she'ein lifsol chibur amal amashish but tzitzit mishum tasav manasui. Rashi implies that this invalidation is not tasav manasui el mishum din acher. It's a different halacha. Hamechayev shaknaf tiel abeged b'shar asiya. That the corner be present on the beged when the tzitzis are made. I don't.
That's the same thing.
Right, so that's why I think this is Tasav Manasri.
I mean, he's explaining Rashi differently.
But he thinks it's Dafka, not Tasav Manasri, which leads to his whole problem.
He's basically saying the same thing, that it has to be this beged, it's just the way he puts it.
He says it's not... Correct, it's not Tasav Manasri, but that's why he gets bothered, because he says, well, if it's not Tasav Manasri, that means that he doesn't need a beged, which is Chayev, and that's why he gets into all of his... problems here. I just think Rashi is identical to Tosfos. So for our purposes, unless you're super compelled by the Rav's read of Rashi, let's assume that Rashi and Tosfos are identical and take the Rav's analysis. Again, I 90% buy his Machloket Rashi, Rav Amram Gon and Tosfos, only 90%, because the Rav thinks that for the Rav Amram Gon, the critical shear is Beged. I think that the critical shear for Rav Amram Gon is Knaf. And I think that the machlokes is Rav Amram Gon versus Rashi and Tosfot, not Rav Amram Gon versus Tosfot plus Rashi.
I don't think it's too hard to say that when he says beged means knaf.
Again, that I'm not. I don't have too much invested in that because I don't think there's an afkamina so much between those two formulations, right? Is it that Rav Amram Gon needs to have a beged sheer shame beged b'chol dar kula, or he needs to have a shame knaf? I don't know how much of an afkamina there is between those two formulations, so I'm not so worked up about it. I am pretty convinced that Tosfot and Rashi are saying the same thing, and that Rashi thinks this is a halacha in Tosfot and Manasri, and it's an expansion. That's how I read Rashi. Again, if you hold like the Rav, I remember once when I took a bechina to go to yeshiva, not the yeshiva I went to, but the other yeshiva that I applied to. Thanks. So on my bechina, the person who gave, now that you've said it, when Rabbi Blachman gave me the bechina from KBY, so he asked me to read a Tosfot, sight unseen, and he asked me what my, like how I understood Tosfot, like how I would analyze Tosfot. So I gave him a svara, and he like yelled at me. He's like, I don't think that's what Tosfot is saying. And then he paused for a second. He's like, admittedly, Rabbi Soloveitchik did think that's what Tosfot was saying. But I don't think that's what he's saying. And I remember thinking at the time, like, I could do worse. Right? Like, I could do worse. Like, I get it. You don't agree with it. But I don't think you should, you know.
Yeah.
He didn't reject me. It wasn't like, oh, you hold like the Rav. Clearly, you don't know how to read Tosfos. He didn't go that far, right? He did, but I was like, you could do worse. So if you disagree with me, and you think the Rav is right, as I thought to myself when I was an 18-year-old, you could do worse, right? Halavai, all of you should disagree with my reads, but be as good at reading Yisharim as the Rav. If that's our standard halavai, right? And, you know, if we quibble on how to understand a Rashi or a Tosfot here and there, and you know your analysis was good enough for the Rav, then again, I may not agree, but it's definitely a respectable position. So if you think the Rav is right, I have. You know, the Rav was many, 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 many times smarter than I am and bigger Talmud Chacham. But, nevertheless, I'm chayav to tell you what I think in Rashi. And I think that that's not pshat in Rashi. I think that Rashi really is saying that this is an expansion or a deepening of the halacha of Tasov and Azwi. And therefore, I'm going to suffice in terms of my analysis of presenting this as Amram Gon versus Rashi and Tosfot rather than trying to develop the distinctions between Rashi and Tosfot at this point. Okay. So let's stop on this point for now. A lot of the lumdus in this sugya is this very complicated lumdus in the Baal Tosif. Again, because of Rosenzweig spent time on it, and because it's such a complicated sugya, I don't want to get into the depths of it. What I do want to still do in this sugya we still have at least one more day on this because I gave you there's one more sugya, the sugya on Membet, that according to some Rishonim is a halacha and tassel manasui, so we at least have to see it. That's the number 9 here. We should look at the Rush. What time is it now? It's very complicated. I do want you to try to read this. So tomorrow, try to look at the Rush, because the Rush has a slightly different formulation in Rav Amram Gaon. The other point I want to note tomorrow is that we've developed very strongly the way Rashi understands Tasov Manasui. I think he holds Maisa consistently, but the Rashi on Mem Gimel, on Lamed Gimel, seems not this way. So look at 13 and 14, which is the formulation of Rashi in Menachot and the Rashi in Sukkah, to try to maybe compare and contrast those. And look at the Gemara Membet. Do those for tomorrow. And hopefully, definitely by the end of the week, we'll be done with Tasov Manasui. The question of whether we'll do one more day or two more days, I'm not sure. I mean, there's so much in the Sugya. We can always just decide, look, we've seen enough.
We in Shore might not be here for sure on Thursday.
Right, because you have the Chesed project, right?
No, we're actually going to the Our Crowd thing.
Oh, right, you told me this. Whatever, I'll try to get through it tomorrow. So again, as long as you accept my disclaimer that there's more in the Sugya and that the reason that we didn't do more is not because I'm under the delusion that we've covered everything, but because I think getting the basic sheet of the Rishonim is sufficient for our purposes at this stage in your life, and will forgive me. As long as you'll forgive me for incompleteness, then I'm willing to be incomplete on this sugya. So we've already spent 4 days. If 5 days is incomplete, I'm willing to accept that.
Well, Rahmanis for your Rahmanis.
Oh, thank you. That's what I need.